You're listening to Talking Teesdale, a regular podcast covering Barnard Castle and the surrounding villages. Brought to you in association with the Witham Community Arts Centre.
So, here we are again then.
I know, a long time.
It's been a little while, hasn't it?
It has. How have you been?
I'm not so bad. You've had a haircut.
I have. I was going to say, what's new? And I was going to say, my hair's got shorter.
I've got a new phone.
Okay.
That's about it, really.
Yeah. I put a dress on for the occasion.
That's brilliant for radio or podcasting. still, we did take a picture.
We did.
We should really do a bit of who we are and how we got here, just for anybody who has stumbled across us for the first time.
Yeah.
My name's Stuart Launday, and until fairly recently, I was a print journalist, latterly the editor of the Teesdale Mercury.
And I'm Jane Woodward, and I work at the Witham Community Arts Centre, and I am the administration and finance officer, but I do a little bit of marketing as well.
And podcasting. So the story so far is that about 2 years ago, when we were sat around in a programming meeting, somebody, some bright spark, came up with the idea of doing a podcast. So we did, and it was really good fun, wasn't it?
It was, yep. And I just came on every week and just did the what's on.
And then sort of kind of real life got in the way, and we had to put it on hold for a while. And we both just had a look, and it was last February when we actually did one of these.
I know, I can't believe it's that long ago. Can't be.
Can you remember what to do?
just rabbit on.
So for anybody who's new to us, welcome along. This is the first episode of Talking Teesdale. Now, for anybody who's heard us before and has come back, this is probably series three of what started out as In the Spotlight. We did two series of In the Spotlight, which focused solely on what was going on at the Witham Arts Centre here in Barnard Castle. And we've decided to widen things out a bit and do some more community stuff. So we decided also to rebrand. That's what the young marketeers say, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You'd know all about that. I wouldn't. So as well as doing the Witham stuff, what's coming up at the Witham Arts Centre here in Barnard Castle, we will do a bit of other stuff as well. And this week I've been chatting to an interesting local lady who's released a couple of books. She's called Leah Hobson, and she'll be along in a little while.
Oh, brilliant.
But to start with, we're going to press on. Do you like skiffle?
I don't mind skiffle. It's not my favourite kind of music, but
I grew up with it because my dad was a huge skiffle fan.
Mm-hmm.
And where this is leading is that Peter Donegan's coming to the Witham next month. And he's going to be, his dad was Lonnie Donegan, king of skiffle, the biggest star in the world in the late 50s and very early 60s. And Peter and his older brother are coming along with the show, celebrating the dad. They're telling a few stories and singing a few songs. So that's coming up in just a couple of ticks.
Great.
And then a bit later on, you'll be back with what's coming up with them. Anything exciting? Anything you'd just like to care to share with us now?
Well, if I said Barbara Dixon.
Oh, yes.
Lee Mead.
Yeah, very
You'll
good.
Have heard of those names.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Barbara Dixon. Yes, definitely be there for that one. So we'll have full details of what's coming up in the next week or two a little bit later on. But first to Peter Donegan, who together with his older brother Anthony is bringing a show all about the famous dad Lonnie Donegan, the king of skiffle, to the Witham next month. To get us in the mood, here's one of Lonnie Donegan's best known hits.
Sweet 16 goes to church just to see the boys. Laughs and screams and giggles at every little noise. Turns her face a little, then turns her head a while. But everybody knows she's only putting on the style.
She's putting on the agony, putting on the style.
That's what all the young folks are doing. Putting on his just to see his girlfriend smile. But she knows he's only putting on the style. Yeah, putting on the agony, putting on the style. That's what all the young folks are doing all the while. And as I look around me, I'm sometimes apt to smile, seeing all the young folks putting on the style. The preacher in the pulpit roars with all his might, sing glory, hallelujah, puts the folks all in a fright. Now you might think it's Satan that's a-coming down the aisle, but it's only our poor preacher boys that's putting on his style. Yeah, he's putting on the agony, putting on the style. That's what all the young folks are doing all the while. And as I look around me, I'm sometimes apt to smile, seeing all the young folks putting on the
looking forward to this week's podcast for the simple reason that we're going to be talking about not just one of my musical heroes, but one of my father's musical heroes, Lonnie Donegan, with his son Peter. The show that's coming up at the Witham on May the 16th is an evening of songs and stories about Lonnie from Peter. So first of all, Peter, how are you doing?
Doing all right, Stuart, thank you.
Now, as I mentioned, I suspect my upbringing was quite similar to yours. I was brought up with the music of Lonnie Donegan. My dad, who's getting on a bit now, used to regale me, or he still does regale me, of tales of going to the Stockton Globe in about 1958, catching the bus down from Darlington and going to see your dad. And one of my best memories, actually, is the last time that Lonnie toured. I took the old fella up to Newcastle to see him, so we managed to catch him on the last time round. So I'm forever thankful for that, because it meant I got to see him perform as well. And it was, considering he was turned 70, I think, at the time, it was one hell of an energetic show.
It was. I was the keyboard player for that tour as well.
You must have,
go on.
Sorry, I was just going to say, you must have been quite a young lad then.
I was 70. Well, for the tour that you saw, I think 17. For the next one, the one where he passed away, which was just before we were going to do Newcastle, was actually, I was 18 then.
Okay. And so just tell me, so obviously your dad was quite an old father when you came along. So how did you come to learn about his musical past? And kind of what a huge star he was back in the late 50s, early 60s.
Well, I think it's basically you do it via osmosis when you're the child of somebody like that, you know, because you're always surrounded by the music, so it just gets absorbed anyway. It's not until, you know, and you're happy with it and you love, you know, or certainly I did. I love listening to my dad's stuff, even like he did like a Lonnie Pops album, I think, in the late 60s, early 70s, I think, which was all cover songs, you know, of, you know, Clouds and Hey Now, Get Out of My Way, and Long-Haired Lover from Liverpool, all this kind of stuff that was on there. And I loved it, you know, because it's dad's voice and I loved his execution on it. And it's not until later on, really, I think, when I got to double digits and I got people like Joe Brown and Brian May from Queen, people like that telling me personally in my face that, you know, that they wouldn't have had a career that they've had if it wasn't for dad. And I'm like, oh, cool. And also, I mean, you realize it as well when you're a kid at school, because not the other kids, definitely not, because my age, you know, I didn't know what skiffle even was, but it's when their parents and their grandparents I'm getting invited to parties that the kids don't want me to go to because the parents want me to go there just in case my dad turns up, you know. So
So tell me, how did this, is this a show you've been doing for a while, or
no.
tell me about how this show came about.
Well, how it came about was because with me and my career, it's been a struggle in some ways because obviously I don't do dad stuff per my dad's instructions. Because my dad told me, so if you're going to have any chance of making it on your own in this career, you've got to write your own songs. And that's what I've always endeavored to do. But of course, agents, venues, the rest of it, they say, yeah, no, we'd love to have you here. But you're doing all your dad stuff, right? You know, I went on The Voice too because I was scouted by The Voice. They saw my country stuff. I was at Country to Country Festival and went viral with Tom singing, obviously, one of my dad's songs. And of course, immediately afterwards, the only stuff that I got was, oh, great, you could tour around Butlins doing the, you know, your dad's songs. I was like, and you know, I like doing dad stuff. I love doing it. And this is the thing is that I would like to find a way, and me and my older brother were trying to find a way that I could go out there while celebrating dad and doing his songs and enjoy it without being labeled as a tribute artist. Because that's the thing, as soon as you start singing Rock on the Line or My Old Man's a Dustman, everybody shouts out my dad's back catalogue, and that's what goes on Facebook, and everybody just thinks I'm a tribute act. So this way, with it being, you know, Anthony and Peter Donegan present Lonnie Donegan the stories, it's not a Lonnie Donegan tribute show. It's us talking about what it's like growing up with dad. And acoustically doing, you know, a lot of dad's, not just the hits, but also some more obscure songs which we loved growing up, you know, things like Your Seven Golden Daffodils, where my dad covered Cajun Stripper Queen. You know, people don't always remember it, but things like Lonesome Traveler, which one of the few songs my dad did in the minor key, which is, you know, a haunting, lovely tune, you know. And it's because a lot of people obviously go out there and they think, I don't know why they do this, but people say, oh, Lonnie Donegan, yeah, my old man, the dustman. You know, and it's like, well, that's not really what dad was about. I mean, two novelty songs does not make a career, a 50-year career, you know, six, was it 30 top 20 hits and inspired the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Joe Cocker, even Jack White from the White Stripes, you know, obviously later on as cited dad as a massive influence. And, you know, it's because the song's more like Rock Island Line, which actually changed the British music industry accidentally, but it did. It made music tangible for the youth, and that's what gave rise to the skiffle boom and how the statistics were it was one in four British men were in a skiffle band during the
Oh
50s.
yes, I can attest to that because my dad played two gigs at the local WI Hall when he was about 18 or 19. I think he was on the guitar and one of his mates was on the what's it bass,
Oh, the
and
T-Chess bass, yeah.
the T chest bass, and somebody else found a drum from somewhere and lasted 2 nights. And it must have been the greatest 2 nights ever because he still tells me about it. And it is, you're right. Your dad seems to have been so influential. Forget the Beatles, forget the Stones. I've read so much about Lonnie Donegan's the one that everybody looks back to and was inspired by. Amazing.
Yeah, because that's what made it tangible, and the sale of acoustic guitars went through the roof. You know, there's a point in where I think Britain was sold out of acoustic guitars. So you know, it's my dad's got a lot to answer for. But that's the thing is that we wanted a show that we could do, and this is a one-off tour.
Okay.
We're not doing it again. Where we just want to celebrate dad's legacy, talk about what it was like growing up with him. I mean, there's some stories which, you know, don't bring the kids, let me put it that way. You know, which would have made Mary Whitehouse blush, bless her. And it's just we wanted to share that, you know, what it was like, I guess, behind the door, you know, but what it was like at home. And we get a few. Because we've got stories that were passed down to us from our older sisters as well, from my dad's first marriage. Then Anthony's from my dad's second marriage. I'm from the third and last marriage. So we've got, you know, Lonnie 1.0, 1.2, and 2.0, you know, different. Because we all change as we get older and, you know, become to different phases of our life. So there's plenty of different stories about him. And we've got slideshows and stuff to show everybody and pictures of us, you know, because like myself, I didn't grow up in the UK. I was born in London, but only because my dad was doing panto. You know, I was literally born just because my dad was doing a gig here. But it was I was we were I was raised in California and then Spain, as well as stints in Florida. So.
Yeah. So why make the tour a one-off? Is it something that you just feel you have to do and kind of get it out? You were going to do it at some point. We might as well do it and get it out of the way. And why just a one-off?
Not get it out of the way because I can't do the two things at the same time.
Right.
We've got some time now that I've dedicated to doing this because I want to pay homage to Dad, you know, and I love doing it. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's always two or three songs of my dad's in my set because I can't not, you
Yeah.
know. I'm immensely proud of Dad, and it's great fun, and it's lovely when you see people light up when you do Rock Island Line, you know, when you
Yeah.
do. You know, Worried Man, and everybody starts singing along with it, you know. But it's, or obviously, I have to do it, not only because I want to, but obviously because it was done on The Voice, was I'll Never Fall in Love Again, which until that point, people didn't really realize that that was written by Dad.
Yeah. Oh.
Although I will, I mean, Tom did get this wrong on the show, is that it wasn't written for him. That
Yeah.
was, you know, just what happens when you get older. It was the two of them were on tour together in 66. They did a double-headed tour, Tom Jones and Lonnie Donegan.
Yeah.
It was the same year that my dad released World Cup Willie, which was the World Cup song for when England
Yeah.
actually won the thing. You know, that's another thing people forget. Although, I mean, that's not a song I do. It's from there on. I mean, because my dad released that song, "Never Fall in Love Again," just around 66. It didn't go anywhere because the record label released the wrong version because they insisted on it being a jazz song, and my dad wanted it to be a gospel blues number. And when Tom said, he says, "Oh, I've never heard that one before," my dad says, "No, neither has any other bugger." He says, "Do you mind if I have a go at it?" And he says, "Yeah, be my guest." And of course, the rest is history. And it was the last song on the last album that Elvis did either, as well.
I always get the impression that there's a lot of humor with Lonnie Donegan. Was it a fun place to grow up? Was your childhood fun?
Yeah, fun, embarrassing at times. Because my dad's sense of humor was a real dry one, you know, which
Yeah.
when you're in high school doesn't necessarily go down that well. You know, when somebody comes, you know, you're carpooling, my dad turns up. And I remember feeling going, "Oh, cool, Dad's come to pick us up." Oh, Dad's come to pick us up, right? Because it was like, you know, I still remember a carpool, and we had this girl that used to, you know, her parents would take us there, we'd take her back, and my dad said, "You all right?" She go, "Yeah." Oh, tell your face, you know, and just little snide remarks all the time to friends at school, and I'd be like, "Dad, I've got to come back here tomorrow," and he's like, "I don't. It's all right for me."
So did you grow up in America, California?
In Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, so when you first came over to the UK, were you surprised by the reaction that your dad was getting? Because I imagine that he'd be, I don't know what it was like in America, but over here he'd still be hugely recognizable when he came over and performed over here.
Well, yeah, I mean, we still had neighbors in Tahoe who were, you know, they remembered Rock Island Line, they remembered Chewing Gum, those kind of things. You know, they were big hits in the States too. And that's how Buddy Holly got his first tour in the UK because my dad had to perform in the US to do Rock Island Line because it went to number eight there. And the law was then within the Musicians Union, the American Association for Musicians, was that if one artist went one way, the other one had to go the other way. So they sent Buddy Holly to the UK because my dad had to go to the America. So he had his first UK tour as a dad.
Yeah.
And it all comes around in a big circle because then I ended up being. A scholar for the Buddy Holly Educational Foundation off of my first album, which was lovely. Went to Lubbock, which is where Buddy was from, you know, in Texas. And I wrote a song called Thank You, Texas. Just, I won't bore you with why I wrote the song, but it was felt like a homecoming. It was just a very emotional thing. So I wrote the song Thank You, Texas, which then did very well for me, won awards in Texas, and is the theme tune for a local radio station there. So there seems to be a connection between us and Texas somehow because of that.
Peter, we could probably chat here all afternoon, and if the last 10, 15 minutes or whatever is anything to go by, it's going to be a fantastic evening. A couple of hours of just sheer Lonnie Donegan nostalgia from my point of view. I know that much. I'm really looking forward to it, and welcoming you over to Barnard Castle.
Well, thank you. Hopefully you're going to be there. It's going to be not just us chatting on, because that would just be boring. We're also going to be getting the songs out. We've got the guitars out, and we'll be going for it.
Excellent. And if you do it with half as much gusto as I remember your dad doing it on that stage in Newcastle one night that made a very old man very happy and a not quite so old man equally as happy, it'll be a brilliant night. Peter, thanks ever
I
so much
know.
for joining us.
Thank you, Stuart.
And a reminder that Lonnie Donegan, The Stories, is on at the Witham on Friday the 16th of May, 7:30. Tickets are £20 and there's an age restriction of 18 plus. You can get tickets from the box office on 01833 631107 or online at thewitham.org.uk.
You're listening to Talking Teasdale.
Now, as we mentioned at the start of the podcast, this new version of what we're doing is a little different to In the Spotlight. We're spreading our wings a little bit to include a little more of what's going on in the community. So for this week's Spotlight on the Community, I popped along to St Mary's Parish Church here in Barnard Castle last weekend, where there was an Easter Family Activities Morning going on. And during the event, I bumped into Leah Hobson. Now, Leia is a well-known face around Barnard Castle. She runs her own company called Simply Leia, working as an image consultant and also helping people declutter and organise their lives. However, in the last few months, she's added a new string to her bow. Tapping into her creative side, she's become an author of a couple of books which she's illustrated herself as well. At Christmas, she released a fable called The Cat Who Lost His Socks, and at the Easter activities morning at the church, she unveiled her second book, Monsters and the Mouse. Intrigued, I went to discover more. So we're chatting to Leah Hobson, who has released a new book. And perhaps the best thing to do is explain how you came to start writing children's books, isn't it?
They're fables, yes. So family friendly, and my illustrations are very cartoony, so they attract the young crowd. And the fables are suitable for anyone and adults, yes.
So how did it all come about?
It came about because I made a little book as a gift from our friend who'd witnessed a story about the cat that had lost his socks. He'd gone up the chimney and his little white socks disappeared. So I wrote this as a present, and my friend said that she would really like to have it as a real book. So my next project, when I was at home, was looking at how to publish a book.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, so I figured out how to publish a book and published it before Christmas, got it printed and sold some copies before Christmas. And this was the cat book.
And did you, I mean, is it something you've always wanted to do, write a book, or is it something that you kind of fell into accidentally?
No, it's not something I've ever thought about doing. I've written, I do coaching, so I've written workbooks and things, and I've always been very creative. But actually writing, creative writing, isn't something that I've ever done. So having written the book about the cat who lost his socks, it has 200 words in it, and I went to a local writers group and said, I've written a book with 200 words in. So that's what happened. So the new book that I wrote and illustrated this year and just published for Easter has 700 words. So it's a longer fable, and it's based on a mouse that we found in the graveyard here in Barnard Castle.
And are these books aimed at children? Are they aimed at anybody?
They're aimed at everybody, really. They are fables, so the cat who lost his socks has a little sort of meaning, and helping people who get anxious and worried when they lose things and get all stressed. So it's very much about resting and listening to your wisdom and actually finding the item in the end. And the Monsters and the Mouse, which is the book that's based in the graveyard, is about more about fear and anxiety about things that aren't real, and knowing the difference between the things to be scared about and the things that you just need to make a plan for in case they happen.
Yeah. And do you plan more?
I've got some others, but I would need to sit down and do all the illustrations for them, and we'll see. Yes.
And have you enjoyed the process?
Yes, I have. It's been a really interesting and creative project, yeah. So time will tell as to whether I publish more or not.
And you've done many other things over the years. How does this compare to other stuff that you've done? Are you really enjoying this?
Yeah, I like the fables, the allegory, the fact that these little stories tell a little message, because obviously my background's coaching in image and decluttering, and I kind of feel like it's just the same message of being true to yourself and not being scared and just... listening to your wisdom and doing what's right for you in your home, in your life. So yeah, it's kind of it's different because it's creative and it, you know, it looks very much aimed at kids, but actually the message is the same thing.
And finally, where can we get a book?
You can get them from me, myself. There are some available in the town in Barnard Castle. There's some at Moments Cafe and McNabb's, of course. The bookshop stock both my books as well, so you can buy them from there.
And if you can't get to Moments or McNabb's, then you can go online to www.simplylayer.co.uk and you'll find all the details about Layer's two books on there.
You're listening to Talking Teesdale, a regular podcast covering Barnard Castle and the surrounding villages. Brought to you in association with the Witham Community Arts Centre.
So we're back, and it's fair to say we're a bit rusty, aren't we?
Well, you are.
I'm
Speak
not.
For yourself.
I'm not the one saying, hold your microphone up. Don't forget to hold your microphone up.
I needed to put it down to have a drink.
Right. What's on? Let's have a look at what's coming up at the Witham. First things to mention is, for anybody who's not been in for a while, say if visitors are coming back who were here last summer, it looks a bit different, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. We've had some work done to the front of the building, and work is still ongoing. There's going to be lots of changes over the next few months. But where our shop and box office used to be, mm-hmm. It is now still the box office, but we have a new art gallery in there.
Ah, it's swapped over, swapped sides.
Swapped sides, but we've got new flooring and it's brighter and more airy and it looks fantastic.
And that's because what was the gallery is going to become...
A new bar.
Ah, very
yes,
good.
And work will start on that soon, and then that will relieve the pressure on queues at the bar for drinks, on events.
That'll be good, because yeah. having done plenty of shifts overnight, especially like when it's a full house and everything, it is a bit of a bun fight down there sometimes.
It is. There's not a lot of space.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that'll make things a lot easier for everyone.
But mentioning the gallery, we're coming to the end of one exhibition and the start of another. Do tell more.
So at the moment, we've got Teesdale Felt, which is Claire Priestley.
She's very good.
She is, and she's doing really well. And her exhibition is on until this Saturday, end of Saturday. And then we have a new exhibition coming in, which will open on Tuesday. And that is Matthew Scott, who is a local artist. He has been before. And he will be in the gallery for the next 3 weeks.
Excellent. So plenty to look forward to then. So let's have a look at what's on entertainment-wise. And I'm browsing through the beautifully produced new programme, which
yes.
you can pick up at the centre and at various places through the town. Sadly, not the Teesdale Mercury office, because we aren't
wider.
There anymore.
Wider Teesdale, Stuart.
Wider Teesdale.
Yes, it goes up and down the A66, goes into Cumbria, goes into Darlington and Teesside.
Fabulous.
Yeah, we are spreading our wings.
Jolly good. So, over the next week, what have we got here? Big screen musicals, Bonnie and Clyde, Thursday, May the 1st. What's that all about?
So this is a screening of a musical filmed on the stage of Bonnie and Clyde. I didn't know there was a musical about Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, this is why I raised a quizzical eyebrow, because I wasn't aware of this one either. Oh, well, interesting. So tickets, £12 and £14. You can go along to that. 7 o'clock on Thursday, the 1st of May. Then we've got one of Funny Way to Be comedy nights coming up. Stuart Mitchell. Not a name I know.
No, I'm not familiar with it.
But the one thing with Peter's comedy is that you're guaranteed quality with it. So that's on Friday the 2nd. And then we've got some old favourites coming back.
We've got the Jerseys live, celebrating the music of Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
They are always popular.
They are very nearly sold out, so get your tickets. That is my message. to all our listeners.
You said that very sternly.
Did I?
Yes. Then it's back to comedy. So that's Saturday the 3rd. And then Thursday the 8th, we're back to comedy again. Kai Humphries, he's been before, I think. I definitely recognise him.
Yeah.
With a show called Gallivanting. Mm. That's one for 16 pluses.
Yep.
And then the following Saturday, a treat for classical music fans, I would think. Or perhaps, maybe not. Tenors Unlimited.
Yes. So this is two tenors doing their Great Songs tour. So if you're into kind of Pavarotti and show tunes, and I think there's something for everyone there.
Yeah, I remember this is going back to sort of Italia 90, I think, the World Cup football, when Pavarotti, the three tenors.
Yes.
I can't remember the other two. I was going to impress you with my depth of knowledge of classical music there, and I can't remember who the other two were. But never mind.
But it might be worth mentioning that they are going to be joined by a local choir for a couple of numbers.
Excellent.
No Added Sugar.
They're brilliant. I've seen them perform. They are superb.
Yes. So they will be performing for a couple of numbers. So come along Saturday the 10th and see them and the two tenors.
Very good. Now, have you got your crib sheet ready? Because you could never remember it the last time we did this.
Oh, you're going to ask me what the phone number is.
Absolutely. So we'll go through the routine. So if people are interested, where can they get tickets?
Well, Stuart, they can buy online
at
www.thewitham.org.uk.
Or they can call the box office on
01833-631107.
Oh, very good. You've been practicing. Excellent. So you'll be back next week, and we'll maybe have a look at one or two of the highlights that are coming up a little further ahead in time, as well as the next few days. So we got through it then.
Just about.
Do you think we'll do one next week?
Do you think maybe.
Do you think they'll let us? If the trustees hear this, you never know.
You never know.
I don't know. The thing is, as well, I'm going to play this podcast as part of my show on Durham On Air on Sunday afternoon as well.
Are you going to invite people to phone in and give you some feedback?
Absolutely not. Instead of the usual presenter thing about contact the studio and blah, 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 I'll be keeping shtum, I think. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
No, we'll be back next week and we'll see what we can come up with.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, Jen, it's been lovely to see you again for the first time. Oh, I don't know, 18 months or whatever
it was.
Oh,
such a long time.
I know. Anyway, next week will be better, definitely.
It will.
Slicker.
Slicker.
Shinier.
Shinier. No. Get practicing then.
Absolutely. So listen, thanks very much for joining us. I do hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Do join us again next time. We're available on all the usual platforms. And if you're in the mood, give us a like or a share or whatever it is, a subscribe, I think they do as well. You can also catch us on the Witham website. So until next time, we'll say cheerio.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. We'll be talking Teesdale again soon. In the meantime, please spread the word. Like, share and subscribe. Or go online to thewitham.org.uk.